This is you.
K-U-T.
K-U-T, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me when cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. I have to admit, it's getting better, a little better, all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's great to be back in your studios, as always.
Well, welcome back to KUT. It's always fun to have you here. Thanks for driving
down from Georgetown.
Down from Georgetown, Texas on our Interstate 35. Producing this podcast really is a group effort, and it's not something that one of us could do by ourselves. And when I was thinking about sort of that group concept, it made me think that in learning and in classrooms these days, it seems like there is more of an effort to encourage group projects, group learning, group assignments. And I have to say, you know, it's been a few decades, I don't remember as much of an emphasis on group learning and group activities in the 70s and 80s as there is now. And I guess, Ed, first of all, I'm curious if I'm remembering correctly, and that has been a shift. And if so, if there are differences between sort of the educational experience when we're kind of more solo or when we are tackling questions as a group.
Your memory is absolutely correct. When we were in school, and I was in school a little bit before you, it was primarily an individual exercise for the most part. There were some group projects here and there on the periphery, but those were the exceptions, not the norm. And even into college, once you got to certain levels, I remember actually as a kid taking computer science courses. This is before they even, you know, basically had computers. You know, I was using Fortran 77. For our elderly listeners, we'll appreciate that. We would have group projects where we'd work together. But now I think it is more prevalent at all levels. And I love that you asked the question, you know, what's kind of the pro and con of this, you know, kind of individual self-learning and then group learning? Because I think that there are pros and cons for each. The idea of mastering a body of knowledge or an idea by yourself is a very empowering thing. First of all, it requires so much of you to make that happen. So that's a real positive of kind of working on your own. On the other hand, when you understand something or you're struggling with something, having other people around the table helps you see your own deficiency that you might not have even noticed, but brings that out and allows you to self-correct. So working in a team, whether you're struggling and someone in the team is helping you, or I would say equally impactfully, if you really have grasped it at a higher level than maybe your other teammates, you, in some sense, become the teacher. The teacher is the one who learns the most. When I'm teaching in a class, I'm learning more than my students by far. So it's a teaching experience for the student as well, which I think is why we see so much group work. It's an opportunity for the entire group to grow intellectually. But it does come at the price where if you and I are always working together on math, let's say, and then we go in and take the test, which we do individually, now I don't have the crutch of Jennifer Staten to help me. So in my own learning as a student, since I wasn't exposed to group learning as much, I actually avoided it in graduate school. So when I was studying for the very intense qualifier exams, these are 3-hour exams in the main fields of mathematics, and they're very, very difficult. Many of my colleagues were studying in teams and supporting each other in a very healthy way, which in hindsight, I wish I was able to do. But from my point of view, I thought I'm the only one taking that test. And when I'm in there for 3 hours, all I have is myself, and I've got to do this myself. And as a result, I had a different experience. And I would argue that it was certainly robust. And I made meaning of some of these very deep, basic ideas of mathematics. And as a result, I passed those exams. But I didn't have that group interplay that my colleagues had.
Well, I'm wondering also, you have mentioned before when we've been talking about other things that one of the ways to sort of check or guarantee if you have actually learned something is to try to share it or teach it to others. So I'm wondering if a group experience kind of enhances that, because say you're a group of four and you're working on something in math or anthropology, whatever the case may be, and somebody maybe isn't quite getting it, if you have to then turn and try to explain it to them, that's going to help your own understanding and learning as you try to share and explain.
Absolutely, that is the case. And conversely, to the person to whom you're explaining, that person hearing your vantage point as a recent learner, as a younger learner, might be more powerful than even the professor or the teacher's way of thinking about it. And so I think it's very powerful on both sides. And then, of course, there's this dynamic of the extended lessons, the idea of how do you build teamwork? And I think this is why we see it so often. It's because how do you work with people? And Lord knows we need that in today's world more than ever, to be able to collaborate with each other. And I will share with you that one of the experiments that I tried in the classroom years ago, it was a course I created called Exploring Creativity. It took 12 students. Three of them were studio art majors, three of them were music majors, three of them were philosophy majors, and three of them were math majors. I divided the semester up into equal pieces, so it was about 2 or 3 weeks on each segment. And that group of three, so those three studio art majors, created the curriculum and taught the rest of the students how to be creative through studio art. And then we move to philosophy. How do you be creative within the philosophical context, mathematical context, and then musical context? And what was so fun for me as the teacher was to watch these three really strong majors argue about a curriculum, for a three-week curriculum. And what are we going to do? And what are the assignments? And how are we going to do it? And I would have them individually come to me and saying, oh, Professor Berger, I'm really having trouble with so-and-so because that person's not listening or that person is not. And to me, I'm thinking, this is the point of the class, because my response was, figure it out. Unless it got to a breakpoint, I would say, figure it out. And they did. And so those 12 students went out into the world and have had that experience of working with people that see things different and live different ways. So that's great. On the downside, just really fast, on the downside, of course, is what if you get that dead wood?
Sure.
And that's the real problem that people have with groups, is that I want to get the A and that kid doesn't care and will just force me to do all the work myself.
Right. That can always certainly be the situation.
So in this class, by the way, I handpicked the students. So there was none of those.
I have found over the seasons we've been doing higher ed that I always enjoy and perhaps get more out of the puzzlers when solving them as a group effort as opposed to wrestling with it by myself. So let's work through the solution to last week's
puzzler. Well, and you claim that you have heard this, and I suggested that. In fact, this is a very classical question that employers ask prospective employees in interviews to see how clever they can be. And the question is, why are manhole covers round rather than square or triangular?
Well, and do you like my visual gallery?
You always draw these beautiful pictures. I see a circle, I see a triangle, I see a circle, and I see a rectangle.
Yeah,
oh, I see. There's a few things in there.
I don't know what that one was.
I see a lot of shapes drawn, I think when you decide to retire from the airwaves, your life as an artist is going to flourish.
Well, thank you.
And I want to buy your first original work.
Okay, I will.
What is the answer to the puzzler?
Well, I think this is probably one where it's easy to overthink it and go, well, it must be, you know, this or that or this. Mm-hmm. It's also a place where it's probably easy to be kind of flip and say, well, because manhole covers are round.
Mm-hmm. So the tautology method.
Right.
Because I said so.
Right,
that's
said
always
so.
A great thing for a teacher to fall back on. It's because I said
right,
so. And a parent, too.
So,
parents
yes.
use this.
I mean, so the answers that come to mind, because I have to say, I have heard that this is asked in every question, but I've never heard, like, what the answer is supposed to be. So, you know, you can imagine things like, well, because the drill is round, it, like, you know, drills the hole, so it has to be round, or so that people don't get stuck. You know, if it was a rectangle, we could just, like, slide right down. But if it's a circle, maybe we would get stuck
so you
at
could
our shoulders.
You could slide down more easily if it were a square than if it were a circle?
Not a square, but a rectangle.
Or rectangle.
Because if your shoulders are, you know, parallel to the longer side.
I see.
But if you're a circle, perhaps. I'm just coming up with kooky ideas.
I like
we're just kind of talking
Well, let's pretend this is a job interview. So that's how you're going to respond? You're going to say, these are my kooky ideas?
I would say.
No, here we are. We're in a job interview. Let's a little acting here. So, Ms. Staton, we're very interested in you, and I'd like to ask you a question, just to respond on your feet here. Why do you think manhole covers are round?
I'm not being a very good role player here.
No, you're not.
But okay. It did make me think of another possibility, which is that a very practical reason, which is that you need to use them to get pipes or something underground. And they, you know, pipes are mostly round. So you need a round place to get the pipes down.
So
I've offered a panoply of answers.
And it's
choose
so creative
anyone.
That you're going to be hired because of your broad thinking. So you've got the job. But I believe, I mean, of course, you know, there are many, many reasons, and you've articulated some as, but another reason
yes.
to consider is the fact that those other shapes that you're considering have the feature that should they themselves fall into the hole, they could fall in.
Mm-hmm.
A disc cannot fall into that because of its supreme symmetry. Whereas the triangle, there's a way of taking a triangle and putting it on its side and actually putting it into the triangular opening.
So the top could fall in.
Correct.
Thus leaving an open manhole, which is not safe.
A square, for example, could be put in on its diagonal because the diagonal is longer and it would slide right down. And so that really is the practical reason.
So not unrelated to my idea of a person falling down. Because I said in a circle, a person would hopefully get stuck at the shoulders.
I said you got the job. My suggestion to you is to move on. Anyway, that is the answer.
So, you know, it's as we've been sort of puzzling through this puzzler and talking about group projects versus more independent or solo work, I think another advantage, and I'm interested in hearing your thoughts about this, to group work nowadays is that it does encourage, if not force, interaction and dialogue, which, as we have discussed in previous episodes, sometimes with all our technology and ways that we communicate now, can kind of get lost in the shuffle and has become somewhat of a lost art, is sort of that literally talking things through or working together, not remotely or by email or by text, but literally sitting around a table like we are right here and having to figure things out together verbally.
That's right. And at the collegiate level, the undergraduate level, it is a genuine challenge. You know, when can the four of us get together?
Sure.
I mean, just the scheduling of that becomes so complex, but it is essential to human development and to the development of our society.
Now, you said that you gave us that great example of a previous class you had taught with different majors in it. Do you assign group work now?
I teach in the fall, and I teach this course, Effective Thinking Through Creative Puzzle Solving, and there are opportunities for students to work together to solve puzzles, and some of the puzzles are private. So a private puzzle means you have to solve it on your own, and then a non-private means you can work together. So I do allow group work. But in the past, I've actually had it be a much more central element of my classes, where you were assigned a partner. Sometimes I would actually have students fill out a personality questionnaire. So I would try to fix up, like, I like working late at night, or I hate late. So I try to find personalities that will gel. So I try to mix and match, but it's a challenge to choreograph that kind of human dynamic. And also, as the educators in our listening audience will attest to, it's very difficult to grade because, as I was saying earlier, do you give a group grade or do you give individual grades? And I tend to do a little bit of both. So there'll be a one group grade for the quality of the work, which means that if Jennifer did all the work and I just was, you know, flying along for free, then I got rewarded for that. But also there were individual grades for our participation, and that's where I would have gotten dinged if I didn't do much.
Ed, well, thank you for our wonderful group discussions, as always. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.